News that rocked America. Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA, shot and killed at the age of 31 while speaking at Utah Valley University. One of the most visible young conservative voices leading Turning Point USA and mobilizing Gen Z conservatives across America. Loved by many, loathed by many as well, his views on civil rights, guns, gender, and immigration sparked fierce debate. But what he did was spark fierce debate, which is where we come to conclusions and we come to solutions. Today, we break down what happened, why it matters, and how his legacy will be remembered, and we'll do it with TPL's very own Brian Jadan. Well, Brian, thank you so much for joining me today to talk about this tragic incident.
Yeah, it's actually horrible. I didn't find out about it until late yesterday afternoon. I was on my way home, funny enough, and I had listening to a podcast, and suddenly I'm flipping through. I see Charlie Kirk shot, and I thought it was a gag for clicks. That's what I thought it was. And I turned it on, and there was Megyn Kelly speaking to Glenn Beck, and they were both in absolute tears. So I continued to listen, and by the time I got in the door and turned on the news, it was everywhere. And it's probably one of, in my lifetime, and I'm not a young man, this is the biggest tragedy I've ever come to encounter. When you think about Kennedy, that happened before I was born. Think about Reagan, I was too young to understand.
And he survived.
You think about Trump, and he survived, and we forgot all about that, and everyone let their guard down for a little while, and you had this young man who's been doing this, who's created a movement with Turning Point USA since he was 18 years old. And I remember watching him as a kid, and I was wondering, who is this awkward-looking, tall, gangly kid that he had such an ability to articulate an opinion and a position, even at that age, and I thought he was going to go somewhere for sure, and there he was. You follow him through his lifetime, and we literally watched this guy grow up over the past 10 years, 13 yeah. years that yeah. he's been doing this.
Yeah, he's been very active. He was one of the most vocally active youth that I recall in my lifetime, certainly out there on topics that are tough. These are not easy topics that he would address, and he did it with the cadence of, all right, now if you disagree with me, head to the front of the line, because I want to hear what you have to say. Maybe I'm going to miss something. Your opinion matters more to me than mine. And that was a position that not many people who are ready to debate their own philosophies or their own theories on how a country should run and how people should behave and how society should be set up. Those are all dangerous topics, and he did them fearlessly and still listened to the opposition.
He created discourse, something that has been lost over the past 25 years. I would say from the time you look at when Clinton got in,
yeah.
suddenly it was, we can't talk about this, we can't talk about that, we can't talk about this, whether it was don't ask, don't tell, don't talk. And this has been going on for a long time. And Charlie Kirk was the only young man that I've seen that came out with, he had a velvety voice, and when you listen to him, he had a great delivery,
yeah.
a great delivery, and he got everyone to listen, and he got everyone to question, and he questioned everybody. Charlie Kirk wasn't the guy that went, you need to listen to me, this is what I have to say, because I'm right, you're wrong. He didn't do that. He said, tell me why you're right, and I'll tell you why I disagree with you, and that is lost completely. You can go to every other I hate this left and right thing, but I'm going to say it just for the conversation now. You can go listen to the Young Turks, for example, and they're yelling and screaming at the top of their lungs. I'm right, I'm right, I'm right, everybody's wrong. And Charlie Kirk wanted to speak to the individuals.
Right.
And that's where he connected. That doesn't exist in a lot of realms of our society anymore. There is no, I believe this. Well, okay, well, tell me why. This is what it is. Okay, well, I don't agree with you, and here are the reasons. And you could walk away from watching Charlie Kirk speak and go, well, he made some good points, he made some bad points. I still disagree with him, but...
What a great conversation.
What a great conversation.
Right, what a meaningful debate. You know, it's so funny because One of the things that he said that I think really, I'll give you the top four, if you don't mind, of things that really set a fire when he said them. The Civil Rights Act of 1964 was a huge mistake, he said, claiming it produced permanent DEI-type bureaucracy and undermined constitutional freedoms. Now, whether you believe the sentiment or the accuracy or the efficacy of that, it is definitely an on-the-edge discussion to have in society. It's not a comfortable moment, but he had it. And, you know, whether you agree or disagree with it, it is definitely a topic that only he, as far as I know, was willing to get out there and talk about, and took the heat required to make him really think it through. And he changed his positions on occasion based on the opinions that came back. He said gun deaths are an acceptable cost of preserving the Second Amendment, likening them to traffic fatalities. That I'm seeing a lot of being reminded on Twitter and the other social medias right now. Sorry, X. He opposed gender-affirming care for transgender people, and he argued that there are only two genders, calling transgenderism lies that hurt people and abuse kids. Everybody leapt to that one in a big way. The left became incensed over it. He stood by it to the very end, asking people, convince me that I'm wrong with science, convince me that I'm wrong with psychology, give me a different position. He promoted the Great Replacement conspiracy theory, arguing that immigration policies and demographic changes are being used to reduce white political power. Once again, whether you believe it or not, he would produce the data and the extrapolations to think that through. I will tell you, almost none of these resonate with me. However, in each of these cases, he made a compelling argument on his own behalf.
He did a fine job of it. Yeah. He did it in a way that people could understand and comprehend in simple language. He didn't hold himself above anyone else. And now the real question is, aside from all of those topics that are often labeled conspiracy theories or whatever else, the question remains, why? Why Charlie Kirk? Why that day? Why him? There are hundreds of other people that and I don't want to get into any, this isn't to be negative, but there are lots of other people that could have been considered before him.
Yeah.
And I think he was chosen to go down this way because he had connected with so much youth and he was about to shape the next 20 years of America. He started at 18. If by the time he was 50, he had mobilized his base into a voting base, he was on his way to being president.
Brian, his current prime audience, Gen Z, has risen up and taken over Nepal, is rising up in different parts of Europe over immigration. Gen Z is a dangerous, dangerous group to these governments. And I have to wonder if there is something to what you're saying. Do we need to take Gen Z down a notch? Now, if that was the mission, I'm going to tell you, it did not work. Because both the left and the right are in turmoil over this, and Gen Z is going to start to fight with itself again. Rather than listening to debate, rather than trying to have normal discourse on topics.
Well, in order...
And that's good for politics. Because you want two parties always. You don't need one party that comes together. And by the way, that's often viewed as communism if it's run a certain way. And so if you're going to try to stop Gen Z from participating with such fervor behind somebody that is bringing up the Christian right, removing him is not a bad first move.
No, if that's the intention. If the intention is to overthrow the sensibilities of America and the globe and Gen Z in general, then yeah, somebody made a move. But I don't think that's possible. I think that Gen Z is actually poised to start talking again. I think the sacrifice that Charlie Kirk made will open up the debate. There are crazy people out there saying crazy things about this.
Amazing on both sides how this became so polarizing and so horribly, horribly offensive. The man was shot in front of his wife, Erica, and they have two children. Those people were there. this young life was extinguished. This dad is gone. This husband is gone. And what remains at the moment is horrible, horrible polarity over the death of a father and a husband who was a citizen hard at work, whether you liked his politics or not. This is a turning point, just like the name of it. And it's almost how prophetic that is, and that it would be this way. You know, it's almost like it will add gas to the fire in this group.
Let's take away the gas to the fire analogy, because I don't necessarily agree with that. I think that what we have here, I'm hoping that this, we have this massive fire going on right now. We're so polarized left and right,
yeah,
and we see it every day. But I'm hoping that what we're going to run into here is more like a giant oak log in a fireplace. It starts to smolder for a little while, and we get to watch it, and we just get to watch it burn down, and everything will come to ashes at once, and we'll finally be back on the track where we're talking about issues that matter, like, oh, I don't know, like healthcare. Like, why don't we talk about our taxes? Why don't we talk about inflation? Why are we talking about all of these things that don't really matter in the grand scheme of things to most people, the average person? Why are we always going so far to one side to shout the other person down over things that don't matter? I don't care how you live your life.
I say this all the time. That pendulum swings way too far, way too fast, back and forth from polar north to polar south. And in the middle, the point is lost. And as you reach the pendulum peak on either end, you hear the loudest shouting, emptiest bells. And, you know, it's one of those points where we need to find ourselves having these discussions in the middle, even if they're painful, even if they're opposing. You and I have very different views on many things. I don't think that there's any reason for us to lose friendship for the rest of our lives over it. And if that's the case, it's likely the case overall. I think that polarity comes with extreme emotion. And the more that we put into that emotion, the more we're going to swing back and forth on that pendulum.
Well, but no one's been taught how to hold their emotions. No one's been taught. We live in this, in a world of decadence where we think we have these entitlements that we don't actually have. I came from a family that arrived in our country with nothing. You know, my father got off a boat at 15 and went to a coal mine, right? And he worked hard, and I was taught how to man up, shut up, right? Be polite. Don't do this. Don't do that.
Right.
Remain stoic. Listen to what other people have to say and be as happy as you can. Because if you're not happy, then nobody else is happy. So start, everyone, the whole planet, start by making yourself happy and stop trying to worry about making everybody else in this massive group happy.
People live in echo chambers of their own pious thoughts, or thoughts that they think are virtuous in their own in sense. And I would urge people, especially in the light of a Charlie Kirk incident or anything else tragic that occurs that revolves around politics, is to remember the humanity therein,
mm-hmm,
and not to make a tragic, horrible, psychotic act of murder anybody's property except for the murderer and the poor victim.
Agreed. Now, I'm going to jump ahead for a second here, because there's something that dawned on me earlier today. Do you not find it interesting that Charlie Kirk was assassinated the day before 9/11?
Well, many things make me feel like this was a very targeted, professional execution. I have to be honest with you. My first reaction, I don't know if our producer Nick was here when I walked in the room. The first thing I thought when I heard the news was, wow, this sounds like an op. He got opped.
That's exactly what I thought, because the news that came out was a shot from 200 yards. Okay, well, you know what? On a good day, and I love guns and I love to shoot, on a good day, I couldn't hit the broadside of a barn from 200 yards.
Duly noted, I'm not going to be on the receiving end even at 200 yards when you're playing out there.
And then if you look at the shot, I was listening to someone who was in media this morning, He was a professional sniper in the military.
Right.
And he said the shot that was taken, Charlie Kirk was wearing body armor, the shot that was taken was aimed at his heart, because any sniper knows that that's where all the wheels are. That's the
right.
wheelhouse. And if something goes through the wheelhouse, you're done. Trying to make a headshot is a low percentage shot. And it's been said that that bullet struck Charlie Kirk's body armor and then ricocheted into his neck.
That is a bit of the replay that we're seeing now. It looks either like the shot came, and I hate analyzing it because it makes me so sad every time I see it, but it looks like the shot comes up and through the shoulder. So if it ricocheted up and through his neck, that would make sense to me. But what didn't make sense was a clear shot that way and the bullet going up.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, we will follow the investigation and we'll follow up on this. But we wanted to take a couple of moments just to analyze what initially had happened and how people are feeling. You know, certainly if you have comments, we'd like to hear them. Thoughts that you think from either side need to be shared. But I will caution you not to use this as a point of discussion in favor of your beliefs, because it is a tragedy. There's just no two ways.
Everyone, do your best to continue the dialogue. It'll take 10 men to replace Charlie Kirk. That's the bottom line. It'll take 10 men and 10 women to replace Charlie Kirk. That's how many people it's going to take to recreate that voice. So continue to have the conversations. Don't stop having the conversations. Don't be scared of the conversations, but don't react to this horrible, horrible, savage violence that we're seeing from whomever is planning it out. It is a true, true tragedy. And I hope that your generation, Gen Z, I hope that you wake up and you start to behave like grown-ups and find love and respect for one another and everything that you have, because you should be grateful for the world that we live in. It's a very, very special place, and we should guard it with everything that we have.
I'll vote for you. Thanks, Jadan. I appreciate it, man.
No problem.
A tough discussion still to be had, I'm sure. And I will be honest with you, are hearing from both sides with some pretty strong opinions. But on behalf of TPL Media, to the family and friends of Charlie Kirk, and to you, if you're grieving, we are sorry. And your condolences, we'll send our condolences to you and to that family. So, you know, hang strong. And as Brian points out, keep the message and the dialogue going, even if it's just with us. All right, we'll catch you next time. It's The Daily Canceled, TPL Media. Share it with a friend. Like us, hate us, comment, but certainly subscribe. Thanks. See you next time.